Blog Talk Radio.
Ministries, and we are definitely destroying every yoke, every issue, every demonic force. We're hitting at Satan's territory, and our purpose is to bring it down. Why it's our purpose is because that's what we are called to do as believers. Well, welcome. This is Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And it is our desire to create a change and help the believers grow in the knowledge of God's goodness and His grace. We want to give a shout out to Missionary Terry Rogers, who was on Blog Talk on last week. Hallelujah. We thank God for her. We thank God for her assistance and to just be on blog, because it is our endeavor. It is Amazing Grace Ministries. We are endeavoring to be on this blog every Saturday morning, hallelujah, to reach the masses with topics that are relevant and topics that will help you fight the good fight of faith. And that's what we're here to do, saints of God. We're here to fight. We're here to bring down Satan's kingdom. And certainly I've got a difficult and a rough subject because it is to help, to build, to equip, and to give you what you need. And certainly I do my due diligence and study and try to get material that is applicable to you and to bring to my listeners so that you can know what it is of the battle that you're fighting. But before I get into the lesson or the topic on this week, I want to remind you that Amazing Grace School of Ministry, we are still taking registrations. Hallelujah. If you're interested to take and to participate in this 6-week course, we're going to keep the registration open for a couple of more weeks. After that, we're going to close it, and we're going to move forward. So again, you still have an opportunity to say, Dr. Carey, I'm interested. The same type of teaching that you're giving to us on today will be the same type of stuff we will be dealing with in class. We will just put an emotional and a mental health flavor onto it because we have to be sound in all areas. Because the Bible says that we are three parts, and we certainly have to address the three parts of us. We are body, soul, and spirit. And certainly that soul don't get enough attention. And we need to begin to address the issues that flow from us. And part of the things we're doing today is addressing, we're talking about some relevant things to help us be equipped and help us to fight the good fight of faith, as I stated before. So, again, give me a call, 309-750-7584, if you're interested. Now, one more other thing that I want to mention. Tomorrow, second Sunday, the Lord has granted a platform for me to speak a word of empowerment at Word of Truth Pentecostal Church, Church of God in Christ, located at 415 West 111th Street. I will be in the place on tomorrow. Service starts at 11:30, and the Lord will give me a word that's relevant, that will break yokes, that will bring down Satan's kingdom. I tell you, I will be encouraged, I will be blessed, and I will be humbled if you meet me there on tomorrow. That's a mouthful. Thank you. Meet me in the house, and certainly I will be appreciative, and I just will thank God to see who's listening to this show. I can't see the faces, but looking at the statistics, looking at the stats, I know that somebody is listening, and I thank God for allowing his word to be heard. The Bible says it won't come back void. So he does whatsoever he will, and he is in control. Hallelujah. We thank God that he is in control. So let's get to it. Hallelujah. So we have an exciting lesson on today, this month. We're coming. We've got 5 weeks. Hallelujah. We started out on last week dealing with spiritual warfare, and we're going to continue. You know, I've talked about it in previous classes or previous lessons, but we are going to get down to the nitty-gritty because we have to understand that this fight is not flesh and blood. So we are dealing with the topic is waging war on the devil, and the focus is understanding and operating in the spiritual realm to defeat a spiritual enemy. So we're going to talk about what is spiritual warfare all about. And, of course, we have in Ephesians 6 and 12 that have been my focal scriptures. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this current, this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. 1 Corinthians 12:25. For we must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So we're talking about wicked spiritual entities that we can put under the feet of Jesus. And we have that authority because God has given us that authority. So we are going to be fighting and operating and looking at good and evil. So one of the things we want to talk about, spiritual warfare is the fight against good and evil. You know, once a believer confesses our sins and we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are at odds instantly with Satan. Automatically, we are at war. Now, the Holy Spirit has two functions, of course. It has many more, but when we become believers, what it does, it helps us to give us a mind, first of all, to confess our sins and accept Jesus as our personal Savior and be saved from sin. And then as this body gets reassurance, as it lines up with the Word of God, then we'll receive what is an indwelling, or we receive more power on the inside to fight against the forces of evil. So just like the day of Pentecost in Acts, in the second chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells on the inside of the believer, and now it comes to help us. It comes to give us direction. It is, I so often say in my previous lessons, that it is the power arm of God. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the God, the third head of the third person in the Godhead. Hallelujah. When the Lord spoke, it was the Holy Spirit that put the moon and the entities and created and has set things in place. Hallelujah. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose again and he ascended into heaven, he sent back his comforter. Now, the Holy Spirit has to have a body where he can operate in. That's why we have to be cleansed from our sins. That's why we have to be, you know, the old saints will say separated from the world because, you know, we're living here, but we are yet separated because we have to have an understanding and we have to have a righteous walk with the Lord. So that means if you're doing everything to sin against God, then and you're not operating in the fruits of the Spirit, then you are not walking, and then the Spirit of the Lord cannot operate in you. So we can't. The Bible tells us not to engage in sinness and everything that's ungodly and unclean, and want to be walk with the Lord. We can't do this. Lasciviousness, thank you, Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. So God's realm is good. Through it, he brings abundance. He brings eternal life. He frees people from spiritual and emotional and physical enslavement. Satan's domain is evil. He brings loss. He brings death. He brings destruction. And he binds people up in oppression. There are several aspects of God's nature that, one, he's holy, he gives eternal power, and he is the Godhead. So we often talk about that the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but it's all one, just three parts, but he's all one. So once we have been restored to God and received the Spirit of the Lord, what does that mean? It does not mean or it does not state that we have been free from problems. However, we must realize that being restored to God does not remove us from spiritual warfare. It does not mean that we would never be attacked again by the enemy. The devil not only wants to thwart our ministry as ambassadors of reconciliation, who brings the gospel of salvation to other people, but he also wants to destroy us in this life for eternity. The love, the forgiveness, and the grace of God are complete contrast to the other wickedness of Satan, who endeavors to change our alliances back to him, because Satan cannot change our alliances back to him. He tries to sidetrack us by making us feel defeated or by diverting us in other ways so that we are ineffective in our faith. He desires to deceive and to torment people. Some of the difficulties that we are encountering in life are manifestations of a spiritual battle that is taking place now in the invisible realm. In the invisible realm, or the invisible realm meaning the spiritual realm. And those problems are manifesting themselves on the physical realm. However, don't be dismayed, because we have been reconciled to God and are now his children. We have the ability to fight Satan. We don't need to be oppressed or victimized by him any longer. We can actively enter into the spiritual battle in the power of God's Spirit and live in victory over the enemy that Jesus has already achieved and beat for us by his death and resurrection. So when we look at the verse, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places," we begin to understand that it's not a battle that takes place just with mere flesh and blood. It takes place in the atmosphere of the airways, spirit, invisible. It's not seen with our natural eye, but we must see it in our spiritual eye. That's why it's so important to walk with the Lord, because the Spirit of God begins to operate in us, and it begins to show us and tell us and teach us stuff so that we can see with a spiritual eye as well. So spiritual warfare, according to Matthew 12, verses 25 through 28, and I'm not going to be able to read all these verses because I got a lot of scriptures here, Colossians 1 and 13, gives us a picture of two distinctive realms: the kingdom of God, which is God's kingdom, and the kingdom of Satan. The power of darkness is, when you see it in scripture, it is Satan's kingdom. It says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 25-28, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then is his kingdom stand? And if I, Beelzebub, cast out devils by whom your children cast them out. Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come within you. Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the dear Son. So then we see that there are two distinct kingdoms, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. Matthew talks about the division. How can he cast out devils if he's operating in Satan's kingdom, Beelzebub? He then, Jesus, makes a distinction that he's casting out demons by the Spirit of God. So the kingdoms are a power of darkness and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was Jesus' heads, or Jesus, the kingdom of God, which is Jesus' kingdom, and to the kingdom of Satan, or the power of darkness. So I want you to be clear. Now, there's some major realms, there's some major differences between those kingdoms. You know, we look at society and we look at everything that's going on. We look at the murder, the killing, the hatred, and leadership. And we must realize that that is a manifestation, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I need to get back into my lesson. But that is a manifestation of Satan's kingdom. So you begin to see that there is some major differences between those kingdoms. John 3, John 1, 2, and 3, but 3 John 11. It's only one chapter in 3 John. So, and that goes all the way down to 16, but I know it goes all the way down, just the one verse. Sorry. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that does good is of God, but he that does evil has not seen God. So you begin to see that the person that does good is one that is walking with God. But if you see, if you look at the person that does evil, kingdom of Satan. So then John 10:10, and I often quote this verse. I quote it a lot, but it's so true. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that thou might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Looking at the first part of that verse, you begin to see that the thief, Satan, comes. He comes to kill. He comes to take your peace. He comes to take your family. He comes to take your possessions. He comes to take your faith. And, of course, we look at Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. And I'm not going to go read all that, but you read it. It's talking about the woman with the issue, spirit of infirmity for 18 years, who was bowed together and couldn't lift herself up. And when she saw Jesus, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." And that's what Satan comes to do. And 13 says, immediately he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. See, Satan comes to bound you, to keep you locked up, to keep you from moving forward, to keep you depressed, to keep you upset. But Jesus comes, and when he comes, he laid his hands, and she was immediately, hallelujah, made straight. So we look at John, it says, "Beloved, follow not which is evil, but which is good. He that does good is of God, but he that does evil has not seen God." We read that Satan comes to kill, to steal, and destroy everything in our lives. This is a spiritual battle. But the manifestations can be physical destruction of your kids, destruction of your home, destruction of those things that you love. What's this battle is spiritual, but the killing and the destruction happens in the physical realm. Jesus' realm is good. Through it, he brings abundance, eternal life. He frees people from spiritual and emotional and physical enslavement. Satan's domain is evil. Satan brings loss, death, and destruction that binds people up in oppression. I want to make this clear. Satan is a murderer. He is a liar. He's a thief. He is the wicked one who snatches the truth of God from people, and a deceiver. He is the power of darkness, principalities, rulers of darkness of this age, the span of the spiritual hosts in heavenly places. So he's not sitting in some remote place. He's in leadership. He's over cities. He's in government. And yes, saints of the most beloved, he is sitting in church. Oh, Dr. Carey, you done said something. Yes, he's sitting in church. He does not want the gospel to go forward. And usually Satan will find those weaker ones in church to easily deceive and get with them and tell them a whole lot of mess. But I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to move on. So we talk about God's, we talked about, and we continue to talk about God's attributes. And we gave a little bit on last week. So let's look at God's attributes again. Now, Leviticus 19 and 2 and 1 John 4 and 8 and Romans 1 and 20 talk about God's attributes. Hallelujah. And the thing that Leviticus 19 and 2 says, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, is holy. In essence, there should be a difference with us. There should be a difference with the way we treat people, the way we talk, the way we interact. Hallelujah. 1 John 4 and 8 says, and he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4 and 16, and we know and believe the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And this is the last scripture, Romans 1 and 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. For understand that God is love. Not only is God love, he is holy, so that we are to operate free from sin. It's not about, you know, some people say, come as you are, you know, you can't wear this, you can't wear this. You are to walk in love. You are to be holy. You are to be free from sin. And the Bible says, and it tells us in Galatians, those things that we need to be free of. So, in essence, there are three major characteristics of God's kingdom, which come through the Holy Spirit, which we find in Romans 14 and 17. Y'all may say, I'm getting a lot of scriptures, but in order to understand, you have to have your foundation on the Bible. You have to be in the book. One of the most important things, and the thing is, you just can't go by what you're saying. Dr. Carey, I can't talk a word about the book of Dr. Carey. Can't do it. That I have to go by the word of God. I must stand on the word of God. Anybody that's called and giving God the glory and giving that are saved, that are called and has a relationship with God, with standing on the book. Don't know who might read, who might listen to this blog. Hallelujah, praise God. We have to stand on the word of God. So when we look at the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. What are you saying? So the kingdom of God ain't meat and drink. I know we get a plate of meat and we eat, and we ain't saying nothing. This human body needs meat to eat, but we can't live off of meat. Hallelujah. We've got to live righteous. We've got to have peace, and we got to have joy. And certainly, if we're living right, if we're standing on the book, then we're gonna operate in God's attributes. Then we're gonna operate in that, and then we're gonna have peace of mind. Saints of God, we go to bed, we go to sleep. Hallelujah! My problem's keeping me up all at night. But Jesus said that if you cast your cares on him, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. And that's found over in Matthew. We can go to sleep. But Satan's nature, on the other hand, is found in John 8:44. Of course, we've already been to John 10:10. He's a thief. He's a liar. Matthew 13:19 and Revelation 12:9. And John 8:14 says, ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of the father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of him. You know, the Bible says the liars won't tarry in God's sight. We're not to lie. We're not to try to lie. We have to be honest. We have to be upright. The Bible says in this scripture that Satan is a liar. He's the father of liars. So if we're lying, we're not found in God's attributes. Oh, I need to. This is deep, y'all. This is deep, but we have to understand that we're fighting a battle. We must understand that it's a battle that we will win, because God has equipped us. He's equipped us with the word of God. Now we have to apply that word of God. We have to be able to stand on that word of God to understand how we need to operate in this present world, because this world is demonic. This world, every time you turn on the TV, somebody can get shot, especially if you're living in the city of Chicago. Every 10-year-old's child just the other day was riding in the car and got shot, and he's in the back seat. Another little girl in the end of October got shot. So every time you turn around, there is something going on. If somebody ain't getting shot, they're getting molested. The lasciviousness is just on a rampage. But the word of God, we have the power. We have the power and the authority to cast down demonic and everything that Satan tries to present. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. So the Bible says Satan is a deceiver. He is now trying to deceive the world. But my Bible tells me that we have the victory, that God is a conqueror, that we have the power to cast and to bind Satan. We have to understand that we've been rescued. Now, those scriptures that are talked about. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son." So we have to understand that Satan's kingdom has been defeated. When we look at Revelation, Isaiah 6 and verses 1 through 8, and I'm not going to, again, I'm just giving you the scriptures. Please write them down and read them later. Revelation chapter 1, 12 verses 13. Isaiah talks about he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the angels were saying, "Holy and holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory." So we begin to see that God is in control. Hallelujah. Satan is not in control. When he was in heaven, he was kicked in doubt. He was kicked out, and he went into the earth, which is this world we're living in. So every city, every state have demonic forces that's hovering around it. And you go to state to state, there are different demons, different spirits that are hovering around that state, that city. The spirit of murder, which I talked about in Chicago, we understand that it is a spiritual problem that is being manifested in this physical realm. So the above scriptures give a vision of God's holy and heavenly throne. And I didn't read all the scriptures, but the scriptures of Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, and Revelations 1 through chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And let me say, Dr. Carey, you're going through too fast. I give you the scriptures to this information. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a good resource as at the end of this program. So the above scriptures give us a vision of God's holy or heavenly throne. At evening, John gives us a vision. John is giving us a vision, or at the end, Revelation, John is giving us a vision of Jesus Christ in heaven, which the description tells us about who God is. And again, we talked about his attributes. He's holy. He's high and lifted up. And the angels praise him. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to be doing when we get on the other side. I often tell people, you know, this is not the end. This body may die, but God breathes spirit into us. When God formed us, he gave us his breath. So when we look at our soul and our spirit, that does not die. This body is going back to the ground. But that spirit is not. And the question is, where is that, our soul and our spirit? Where is it going to spend eternity? Are we going to praise the Lord 24/7, 7 days a week? Because we are called. That is what we are to do. He allows us, he gives us life, he gives us the opportunity to be successful. But our obligation is to give him praise. Our obligation as his creation is to look, to act, and to seek him. We look like him. We talk like him because we're his children. Hallelujah. So not only did the above verses I talked about give you a picture of God's holiness, but it also gives you a vision of the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. Know this, beloved, we're going to be tempted according to the scriptures. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Christ was tempted. 3 times he was tempted. Hallelujah. Before he started his ministry journey, he was baptized. And then he went to the mountains and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. Now, when we fast, that flesh of ours gets weak, but the spirit man gets strong. And I want you to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Now, Satan tried to tempt God and Jesus in three areas, and I'm just going to give you the area. Food, command the stones to be made into bread. But Jesus' response was that we cannot just eat bread alone, but must be fed by the word of God. So in my studies or in my teaching this morning, I also gave you a scripture that said that it's not about meat, but we need to eat the word of God. We need to eat it. We need to digest on it. We need to have his word working on us day and night. We need to get up in the morning out of our bed having devotions. We need to spend that time with the Lord before we hit the road, walk out our door. Allow the Lord to talk to us. Allow the Lord to give us instructions, to allow the Lord to feed into us so that we can have clear understanding of our directions, because Satan wants to kill you. He wants to kill you, bottom line. Hallelujah. Second one, he tried to kill Jesus. Second point, throw yourself down, Jesus, from the pinnacle of the temple. You know God will rest you, rescue you. So he wants to test God to rescue him. But he says, be not afraid, because God's angels will prevent that from happening. But Jesus' response says, you don't tempt the Lord, thy God. So here we see food, death, I say death, try to make him throw himself down, fool him. You know you're not going to die, but come on now. And that's what he does to people. He make people think that they go through so much despair and anguish, and they feel like there's no hope. And they say, why? Just say, you know, you just need to give it up. You just need to stop. You just need to quit. But Satan is a lie. Bible says don't tempt God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the third, bow down. Possessions. Make Satan God. Satan is a lie. Bow down and worship Satan, a violation, which is a violation of the greatest commandment, to love God and to worship the Lord thy God and him alone. There is nobody else, according to this book, that we should be worshiping. No other. It is the Lord thy God and him only. We're not to be worshiping the sun. We're not to be worshiping the moon. We're not to be worshiping mankind. We are to worship the Lord thy God and him alone. Hallelujah. Yes, there are people that are instruments of God's tool to spread the word, but we are to praise the God in them. Now, we give them honor, but we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And certainly we know as orators of the word that we lift God up. And it's not about me. It's not about who I am. It's about, Lord, you speak through me. You allow this world to touch somebody. You speak, God, and you allow your people to receive, because I'm just the vehicle. I'm just the person that's being used. Now, God, you operate in me because you get the glory. So Satan wants all the people on the earth to worship and to serve him and to do evil things. Revelations, we go back to Revelations, chapter 13, verses 4, verse 8. Then we go to verses 11 through 15. So here's some other things that are some major methods that Satan uses to draw people away from God, which are lies, falsehoods, and deceptions, which is found in the scriptures. Again, Genesis 3 and 6. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, and then Revelations 20 and 3. So when human beings turn from God, what does that do to the likeness of God, which God created? Now let's look at this very carefully. We're made in the image of God, right? Genesis talks about God creating the world. He spoke light, the night, day, the earth, the water. He created the whole world. He also created man. He blew the breath into us. And the Bible clearly states that in Genesis, first two chapters, that we were created in his image, in his likeness. So now when we are not operating in his likeness, and sin came, sin, S-I-N, when Adam and Eve sinned, when they took the bite of the tree, which they was not supposed to. Image and likeness of God within human beings become corrupt, leading to sin and various forms of deprived thinking. People become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, debauchery, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They become gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent, I want you to hear this, they invent ways of doing evil. They are disobedient to their parents. They become senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless, ignoring the consequences of their behavior. Some people not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those practicing them. So I want you to understand that we're living in a day that's evil. And the Bible says, think it not strange, because when you begin to see these signs, I am soon to come back. Now, no man knows the hour nor the day when the Son of Man will return, but know that he is on his way back. So we are to manifest the nature of God and continue in his way. 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 through 28, and John chapter 15, verses 5 through 4. These things have I written on you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, is truth and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And he's talking about the Comforter. He's talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Now, and now, my little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his coming. Again, Jesus Christ. So Jesus died. He died and bled on the cross. He rose again. He went back to heaven. He gave us a comforter. He said, my comforter, I'm sending back. So this comforter is now inside of us. Certainly this comforter is the one that's given us the confidence and given us the power. And certainly it said that Jesus is going to come back again. So when we look at John 15 chapter verses 4 and 5, it reads, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am in the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Okay, so we protect ourselves against Satan's accusations, and Satan will try to accuse us because we are abiding in Christ. He's going to come at us with everything he has because of the relationship that we're cultivating and that we desire to have. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we protect ourselves against Satan's accusations, and certainly this is getting deep, and we have been talking about this, but my time is running on. So believers, as believers, we have power and we have the authority to put Satan under our feet. And Jesus gave us that power. He gave us that authority over the powers of the enemy, including devils and demons. We have all power. We have the authority to cure diseases and to lay hands on the sick, to be healed, to even speak to our own situation. We need to understand that the kingdom of darkness will not prevail. It will be destroyed because Christ came, that we may have life, and that life more abundantly. Hallelujah. So Satan has already been cast out of heaven, and as believers, we have overcome him through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Satan is under God's control and will eventually be cast into the lake of fire forever. Jesus destroyed Satan through his death on the cross. He has disarmed the principalities and the powers of darkness. And we know that Satan is already defeated and has been overthrown by God's kingdom. The word is clear. We must supply and stand on the word and understand that we have victory over our enemies. We must live by faith, and we may experience trials and tribulation, including spiritual warfare, but we can count on the word of God that comes, that says that we are more than conquerors in Romans 8. Starting at the 35th verse, it says that we are more than conquerors, means we just not mere conquerors. We just don't squeeze back, but we are more than conquerors. We have victory. Satan is defeated. We have the victory. We have the power. We have the authority to keep our head raised high and to know that God has done it for us. We don't need to get dismayed. We don't need to get upset when a bill comes in the mail or there's some physical problems that comes. Satan tries to attack our bodies and make us sick. We don't have to do that. All we need to know is that we've got it in Jesus' name. He's working it out for our good, that nothing shall happen to us that God is not aware of, that he is fighting our battle for us, that he has given us the victory, that we are more than conquerors, and that we arm ourselves accordingly and understand that what's going on, as we see the murder, the killing, the death, this is a manifestation of two worlds colliding. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you, God, for the people that are listening. We thank you, God, for a breakthrough. We pray, God, that you'll touch somebody as they hear this word. We pray, God, that you'll move mightily in their lives. We thank you, God, for the things that you're doing. We thank you, God, that you're providing a platform, God, that people may hear the word. And, God, we ask right now that you'll bless every listener in the name of Jesus. Allow them to be strong in you, God, and follow after the things, good things, God. Give them more understanding, more knowledge, God, and give them an anointing, a greater anointing that they may impact others. God, we thank you, God, because we walk in the victory. We speak it and we declare it right now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in the midst of each and every listener, God, healing and delivering, God, and setting those that are captive free. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This show went a little longer, Praise the Lord, but keep us in the prayer. One of the books that I'm using for this information is called Spiritual Warfare, a study, a Bible course by Mary Kay Baxter. I encourage you to go to your local bookstore and get this book. Certainly, it's full of information. It's full of enlightenment. It's power. It's power packed. It's scripture packed. And certainly, you will be blessed. And we thank God for each and every one of you that have been on the line today. Keep us in prayer, and we will see you on next week. Again, if you're interested in signing up for the School of Ministry, give me a call, 309-750-7584. God bless. Bye-bye.